That's what we're doing, waiting on the world to change. Hey, friends, how are you? Welcome to What's on Your Mind, Friday edition. First-time callers get loved up today on the program, put you to the front of the line. So if you're a long-time listener, first-time caller, haven't made the plunge into giving us a call, today is your day. By golly, we want to hear from you. Thanks to everybody that came out last night to the big event with Michelle Tafoya and Liz Collin. Those two are loved, aren't they? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
What a great night. And I waited until every last soul had left last night and had some really good feedback on a couple of things. One, specifically the event last night and what folks heard from Michelle Tafoya and Liz Collin, Steve and Kevin, part of the show last night as well. But I think, part of the fellowship, somebody actually used that term, just having the fellowship of getting together more than anything really means a bunch, you know.
That's what a texter sent in this morning. I didn't get a chance to read it. The wife and I thoroughly enjoyed the event with Liz and Michelle last night. Kevin, it was great to meet you. Alex, we missed you. Being around like-minded people definitely gives us hope for the future. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, exactly. I think people leave with their bucket filled a little bit to say, okay, this world isn't quite as crazy as I thought it was. So,
Amen.
A lot of fun. And we always, whenever we get a chance to have a Flag Family event like that and get the Flag Nation together, it's great. So it's like an extended version of this program where you spend a few hours together and, again, have a little fellowship. Some guys, gentlemen talking to me after the event, to use that term fellowship, I thought, yeah, that nails it. That's what it is. It feels a little like church.
Boy, good job on the Avalon, too, the Avalon Event Center. That's just a class act, great people, and nice facility, and it worked out just perfect.
Done a lot of events there, so it's they've become like a family there as well, and they are. It's a great venue. It's a great spot.
I was talking about with a few listener friends, and I said, yeah, I remember when this was Playmakers way back in the day, and this was the pavilion, and Eddie Money was here, and someone says, I was at that show. we've both been around a while.
Yeah, no kidding. I remember
that
Playmakers
room
as well.
Transformed, though, boy.
It has, yeah. It sure has. Classy place. It's really top shelf, fun place to do things. And it's funny, I was chatting with Liz a little bit about the event. She said, number one, the crowd is amazing. She said, I do events all the time in the Twin Cities, and you get maybe a quarter to a third of this crowd, which I found amazing. You know what I mean? That obviously the size and population difference, you'd think the events in the cities would be bigger, but no, considerably bigger here. She said, really, in interacting with the audience, you get a sense of how engaged people are. That's really good. And very impressed with our events team as well, which Crystal Lopez heads up for us, and got a great team, well-oiled on the events, really know how to pull off a great event. So nice praise from Liz Collin. She and I had a conversation about the rumors that are floating around about Tim Walz, and we've touched on this briefly just to say they're out there, and they have to do with allegations from former students, according to Twitter, three of them. Now, two of them, as I understand, are unnamed. One of them is named, but the person that's come forward in a video doesn't really look like the person in the yearbook. So it's just kind of fishy. You know, Kevin, you and I have talked about this a little bit. And Liz said, she said, look, we're investigating it. We know other people that are investigating it. We have connections already with a lot of the officials from the past at Mankato School because of Tim Walz as governor. So we've got some pretty good sources on this, but we've not been able to confirm any of these things. So we're leery of it as well. But she said that there were some military ops sources that suggested what could be going on here is I'm going to paraphrase the conversation, but essentially some kind of a effort to try and trap conservatives into taking these allegations, which are manufactured, as a ploy that if, Harris and Walz were to win, they would use as an example of why X/Twitter and or other social media ought to be shut down. And you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
Oh.
It makes a lot of sense when you think, because my whole thing was, well, what would be the motive?
On offense. Yeah.
Right? Like, why would a Twitter account take a accusation from someone they know not to be credible and put it forward because all you're going to do is destroy your credibility when that's proven not to be true, right? And this has been really weird how it's been building, because one Twitter account will come out with something and literally supposed statements from a person who's not named but is going to come forward and has a lawyer and all this. And then that account goes total Twitter dark. Another Twitter account says, well, the reason that one's going dark is because they've been put in Facebook jail because they're putting this out there or shut down by Twitter. Usually that comes with community notes, though. I don't know. The whole thing has just been weird. I've just had a weird feeling about all of it. And then, there was a video, and then you thought, okay, well, this is a video. This is someone purporting to be a victim. The name matches someone that was a student of Tim Walz at the time at the school. Okay. And then you look at the video and you go, this is kind of a weird video. There's something weird about it. I don't know what. And then compare the face to the actual yearbook photo and go, something not right here. And then somebody says, well, this is AI. I don't know. There's just a lot of weird there, if you've been following any of that. And I think most of the conservative Twitter sphere has been very restrained on this, sort of like not just jumping on following the pack at all. And I think actually what some of those military sources of Liz Collins are talking about makes some sense, that this could very well be a trap that they would then use to say, this is why places like X must be shut down. So
yeah, here's your Uncle Kev pro tip on that. Let's focus on what Tim Walz has actually done and signed and implemented. Let's look at what he's actually overseen. The amount of fraud.
Plenty of there, isn't there?
There's plenty of there. Let's not focus on what he maybe did or didn't do. He lost most of us a long time ago with the nonsense he has signed and the policies and the things he's implemented. So yeah, let's just focus on that. If this thing comes around, it comes around. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly right. And there is a whole lot there, my Lord. And he's very prone to lie about it, you know. I mean, just look what those that served with him in the National Guard spoke.
Misspoke.
I think some of the most powerful things has been the reporting of Liz Collins at Alpha News from actual people that served with Tim Walz about what a scumbag he was to desert them and say, I'm out of here, when he knows a deployment is coming, and then claim a promotion that he never actually was engaged in with the National Guard. I mean, like you say, there's plenty of stuff, even as what he's advocated for as governor. So good point, Kev, for sure. Quick note that we are getting ready to close out the trip to New York City. We do this annually. My wife Maria and I host a group of listeners, and we go on a trip. And we've done New York every year, mostly because people want to go to New York at Christmas time and go with folks that have been there before and know where to go and where not to go and what to see and what to take it in. And I tell you, hundreds and hundreds of folks have joined over the years, and they're like family now. We hear from them all the time. Some get Christmas cards from, and that's what happens. You go on a trip with somebody. So if you'd like to join us this year, we are nearing the end here. We have some seats out of Bismarck yet. We're getting out of there very close to sold out on the seats out of Fargo. If you want to go, depending on where you want to go from, they'll figure out a way. So I just wanted to let you know that if you've been thinking about that and maybe putting off making a decision on that, we're getting down to crunch time. Again, just quick details, December 7th is when we leave. That's a Saturday morning, bright and early. So we get some New York City tour time in once we arrive and have a great meal at the Cat's Deli. Then we got a full day on Sunday, take you to the world's most famous cathedral, St. Patrick's Cathedral. Go to Top of the Rock for the view of the Big Apple. That's a whole lot of fun. Central Park, Fogo de Chão for dinner, which is great. We're doing a narrated harbor cruise. This is so fun. You actually go out on the Hudson River and the East River and circle around Manhattan and go right out to the Statue of Liberty, and seeing that at night all lit up out on the water is just amazing. It's a great way to see New York. Love the harbor cruises. Those are always good fun. And that'll round out our Sunday. Then on Monday, we go over to Fox News Channel, and you get to meet the crew from the Fox News Channel, actually be on Fox and Friends. Jimmy Fallon will be there. That's a lot of fun. We leave, and by the way, that's an exclusive to a Fox. A Fox tour is something you can't do on your own in New York City. It's something that if you come with us, you can go, but otherwise you're not getting into Fox News Channel for, a television
the
appearance.
The all-access thing.
Fox
VIP,
and Friends.
The
right.
Backstage.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is part of the reason you come along with us. And then we head over to Ellis Island, which is amazing port of entry for 22 million legal immigrants. That's how it used to work, Kev. You know, legally.
Oh yeah.
1892.
Yep. We were there. It's a great stop.
To 1924. Think about that. Yeah. Right. So what is that? It's 32 years. Right. 1892 to 1924. Over that time frame, those 30 years or whatever it was, what did I say? It's 24.
It's 30 years, yeah.
Yeah, it's 30 plus years. 22 million immigrants. And how many we've had in the 3 years?
Since then, yeah.
Three years? Yeah, or since then? Unbelievable. Anyway, it's a lot of people trace their history and their family, and it's a lot of fun. They make that easy for you to do. Go out to Liberty Island where the Statue of Liberty is. Go to Times Square. Do a little dinner at Carmine's, really cool place near Broadway, the family-style Southern Italian cuisine. The meal's just life-changing. And then go see a Broadway musical of A Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong musical. Great, wholesome show, wonderful story. You'll love that. The Broadway shows, if you've never been, are just incredible. They really are. Tuesday, we go to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum, taking all of that from St. Paul's Chapel at Ground Zero. Oldest church in New York City. And while everything around it, understandably, including the Twin Towers, crumbled, St. Paul's Chapel stood. It's a great story. Then the 9/11 Memorial Museum, which is really something you must see as well. Go to the top of the One World Observatory. We do Trump Tower for dinner that night. That'll be fun. Then the Radio City Music Hall. That's a full day Tuesday. Get up Tuesday, Wednesday morning, have a little breakfast, and head home. So there's the whole schedule. If you'd like more information, details on signing up, it's $34.99 per person based on double occupancy to go. Send me an email today, would you? Just send it to studio@flagfamily.com. That's just studio@flagfamily.com. Put in the subject line New York City. It's all you need to do. Or you can call our front desk and they'll get you hooked up with all the information there. That's 701-356-4220. 356-4220. 356-4220. Sophia down there will take care of you. Or email studio@flagfamily.com. Just wanted to give you a last chance on that as well. More coming up on What's on Your Mind. Hilarious night. Donald Trump played comedian last night at the L. Smith dinner. Kamala Harris was a no-show. We'll talk about that and more coming up on the program. Coming up on the program today, we call What's on Your Mind. Senator Kevin Cramer will be here at the 10 o'clock hour for a talk radio town hall. Your calls, questions and comments for him, welcome then. Yana Murdahl will be here. She's a state senator. She is a supporter of measure number 2 on the ballot, measure 2 put there by the legislature to reform the process for changing the Constitution in North Dakota. So continue to get you lots of different voices on the different measures that will be out there as the voting has begun in North Dakota on the countdown 2 weeks from Tuesday. So telephone number 701-271-1100 if you have a question or comment. Lots of open phone time today on the program. First-time callers go to the front of the line as well. Remember that. And you can text us, too, at 701-237-1590. 701-237-1590. President Trump was funny last night. You're supposed to be funny at the L. Smith dinner. It's kind of a long-standing tradition. Kamala Harris didn't show up last night. So, yeah. By the way, the last Democratic candidate for president that didn't show up was Walter Mondale. How'd that work out for him?
Yeah. Exactly.
How'd that work out for him? I think he won one state. Yeah. So,
yeah, that was it.
Yeah. And it was his home state of Minnesota. So anyway, not wise, but, some funny stuff last night. Comedian was pretty good too. He was a Saturday Night Live guy that's playing Tim Walz.
He's great. Yeah. Jim Gaffigan. He's awesome.
He was pretty good, yeah. I mean, not knee-slapping funny, but not bad.
I'm bummed. I think he was at Shields Arena within the last year or two. I'm bummed I didn't go see him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh. He's in town. Yep.
Brought to you today by our friends, by the way, Chose Investments, KJOSinvestments.com. They're the folks that if you're looking at a land deal, development of any kind, need some commercial real estate right away, maybe some warehouse space, office space, they likely have it or they can get you where you need to go. Just have a conversation with them. You'll appreciate it. You can find out more at choseinvestments.com, KJOSinvestments.com. Yeah, the comedian's line about Kamala Harris skipping the Al Smith dinner, first presidential nominee to do so since 1984, noted that she did find time to appear on The View. Howard Stern, Stephen yep. Colbert, and, yep. as, and as he said, that longtime staple of campaigning, the Call Her Daddy podcast. But didn't quite make the Al Smith dinner. And then she sent this total cringe video that they're now blaming on Mark Cuban, saying it was his idea. It was really odd. I know you played it earlier on the Need to Know Morning Show. I don't even know if it's worth playing again, but it's really gross.
It's Molly. The character is Molly Shannon's character, Mary Catherine Gallagher. She's the one who, you know, superstar. And she does
on Saturday Night Live too.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just goofy. I mean, it was just weird. And she's giving her tips on something, how to deal with Catholics and don't lie. And it was like, it was bizarre.
It was. Mark in Fargo, let's get you in here. Get going with your comments today on a Friday edition of the program. 701-271-1100. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, happy Friday. Listen, I got a new take on Just Stop Oil. You know what my take is?
I'm sorry, a new take on what?
Just Stop Oil.
Just Stop Oil. Oh, got it.
Just stop traffic and violate your Fourth Amendment rights.
Yeah, okay.
You know what the deal is?
Yeah.
Okay. Those kids are being paid by Big Oil. You know what? How I know?
What?
Because whenever you see them, you automatically are on the side of Big Oil. Automatically. They don't have a company. They don't. Automatically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're a bunch of foolish kids that don't know any better. They don't have a company name up on that, or an organization name. It's Just Stop Oil. So they're running us towards Big Oil. I'm very much on Big Oil side now. I would have been kind of ambivalent before. Now I'm very much on the side of Big Oil.
Yeah, so we want them to keep doing what they're doing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I have a bullet. Sure. I'm very much on the side of Big Oil.
What year is it?
You're right.
It's 2024, and they want to stop oil by 2030. This just shows you how dumb they are. I mean, this is insane. They you know.
And how many people are you winning over by gluing your hand to the runway or the freeway or whatever, chaining yourself to, you know, no one's listening. No one's paying attention to you.
Yeah. You know, I hear what you're saying. I think they're actually funded by folks like Greenpeace and Sierra Club and all the radical groups. We have one in North Dakota, too.
There
she is. There she is.
Good point, Mark. They're having the opposite effect. I love it. Let's see here. Leather call came in. Go ahead and roll this one, Kev, on measure four.
All right, here we go.
I attended the Cass County co-op meeting last night, and it's the first time I've been very disappointed both in the management and directors of our Cass County co-op, who are normally quite good. They had one of their executives give a detailed presentation against Proposition 4, and I mean, he really hammered it, yet there was no opposing view fair and equal time. They should have had Rick Berg up there, or one of his staff, to give his position, or at least given out the website, unfairtaxesnorthdakota.com or something, to give a very short time for people to get up and speak. I would have gotten up, but we were with friends who are ultra-liberal and relatives, and my wife was afraid of losing the friendship if I get up and start speaking against the Proposition 4. That should have been voting for Proposition 4 rather than against it like the co-op. So I'm for Proposition 4 as a retiree whose taxes have gone up over 40%, over $1,000 projected for next year. And I know working people who are in the same boat, not just retirees, that are concerned about to keep affording their house because of the high taxes. And they would not allow anyone to really speak against it. They did not provide an opposing view to be fair and balanced. They thought we're all just too stupid to listen to both sides, I guess. So very disappointed in our Cass County management. And I and others are going to remember that next time directors are up for a vote. If they didn't support Proposition 4, we're voting against them.
Appreciate the call. Measure 4, obviously opposed by a lot of organizations. Cass County Electric, the one you're mentioning. All opinions welcome. Appreciate that. More coming up with your calls. Don't go away, friends. Happy Friday. Welcome to What's on Your Mind. I'm Scott Hennon. Kevin Flynn is here. We had a great night last night with Liz Collin and Michelle Tafoya. Thanks for coming out for all those folks that did and for your kind comments. Talked to a lot of listeners on their way out the door, and they were thrilled about the fellowship in the evening. And, you know, it kind of helps to take a couple hours out of your routine and just get together with folks of like mind and shared values and, you know, have a little conversation. Just fill your bucket a little bit. So it was a great time. We enjoyed it and hope you did too. Texter says, great time last night. Thank you, Flag. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. Great fun. If you were there, you missed President Trump deliver some knockout punches on Kamala Harris at the famous Al Smith dinner in New York City. Kamala Harris, the first nominee to skip it since 1984. She sent some lame video. Line of the night. Well, there were two, I thought. I actually watched it after the events of last night because I wanted to talk a little bit about today on the program. But I thought the two funniest lines were one on Chuck Schumer. Trump says to Schumer, you know, your party's gone so woke, there's still hope for you to still be the first woman president. like he's literally two feet from Chuck Schumer, you know. And
it was great, too. And he said, I gave Chuck his first check. Remember that, Chuck? Remember when you were running? You know, I gave you your first check.
He's a good guy. I shouldn't say that, but he's a good guy.
Yeah. Schumer's sitting there like he's waiting for his wife while she's shopping at Nordstrom's or something at Christmas. He did not look happy.
The other line I thought was great was he said, you know, I used to think Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz.
That'd be right here.
Walz isn't here himself, but don't worry, he'll say that he was. He's going to say he was. I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, pretty good. Pretty good stuff. We have some clips to it throughout the day today. Listen, if you have a question or comment on anything, Free for All Friday, first-time callers go to the front of the line. We love you on Friday. And if you're a first-time caller, just tell Kevin that when you call. And what we'll do is put you to the front of the line, so get you on quickly, and we'll also get you a MyPillow prize, okay? So rewarding our first-time callers, but it's kind of a free-for-all. Ask us anything, whatever's on your mind, just lay it out there. I promised some poll numbers today that I think will fill your bucket. Looking forward to sharing those. There's a lot of gaslighting going on related to polling, and again, we talked a lot about this, but why would you expect the corrupt corporate media, who is essentially an extension of the Harris-Walz campaign, just like they were with Harris and Biden and Obama before, and you know, right? I mean, they're leftists. They're not journalists. They're leftists with an agenda that, essentially, in their mind, they need to stop Trump and get Kamala Harris elected. So, these same media organizations commission polls. So why would we think the corrupt corporate media that can't report fairly or use actual journalistic standards would do their polling correctly? All of that's designed to get into your head. Well, what's funny, even with that, the poll numbers are not going in the right direction for Team Kamala and Timmy. But a story that is not out there related to the polls that I think is super interesting is the comparison to 2020 at this very same spot. So I'm going to share some stuff with you there on that specific to where it matters, because this race is going to be decided in about 22 counties throughout seven states 2 weeks from Tuesday, 18 days from now. So we'll talk a little bit about that today on the program as well. Here's how you join us, 701-271-1100. You can text us at 701-237-1590. So that I don't get backed up on these on a Friday, I'm going to get to some texts right away. Also tell you that Senator Kevin Cramer will be here an hour from now in the Talk Radio Town Hall, so get your questions ready for him. And what else do we have? We have Yana Murdahl, State Senator, will join us today on the program. And she is a proponent of measure number 2. We have 5 measures on the North Dakota ballot. I'm doing everything in our power to make sure you've got all the information you need on these measures. So measure 2 in our focus with Yana Murdahl later on in the program today, okay?
There's a lot in North Dakota. A lot of measures, a lot of got to be up to speed on all of them, too.
Yeah, a lot to sift through. I wrote my column about measures here last week.
What do you think about the dome one? Is that measure one, I think?
It's a Fargo one. Is that on the November
ballot? It's just Fargo. We had David Supas on the morning show talking about it. It seems to, I think, a 25 cent or 20, I don't, whatever, a sales tax thing. But the dome sure needs it.
Yeah, my
upgrades they're talking about.
My theory on the Fargo dome is that investment, which has been funded by anybody that buys things in Fargo because it's funded by the sales tax, has been a good investment. But like when you build something in 1992, I think it opened, right?
Yep.
And we're sitting here in 2024. You obviously have some things you need to do to freshen up. And it's the home of the Bison. I mean, it's the home to a esteemed football franchise. And does it need some improvements? Absolutely. So I think that one makes good sense. I've forgotten about that one, actually, that it was on the ballot.
I thought I did, too.
Fargo voters will be...
I don't have a horse in the race, but I'd vote for it if I could.
Deciding that. So check that out. Text, as I promised. What is the single supplement for the New York City trip? If you want to go as a single, I forget the upcharge. It's $34.99 per person based on double occupancy. A bit more because you're not sharing a hotel room. You'd need one yourself. Or there's some people that call and say, hey, if there's another single that wants to go, I'd like to go. So what I would encourage you there to do is just send us an email and we'll connect you with the folks at Group Travel Planners and get you an answer to that question, okay? So text away, studio at flagfamily.com. Just put New York City in the subject line and we'll get somebody in touch with you. Leave us your telephone number if you'd like a phone call or your email address if you'd like an email on it. Todd in Minot, let's get you in here at 701-271-1100 on an open phone Friday edition of the program. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. Morning. I'm going to be positive and think when we do win in November. I don't know if you guys follow Dan Bongino much, but, you know, we got to prepare for what the left is going to do if and when we win. They're going to cause chaos that we've never seen before. And, of course, living in North Dakota, you know, we're not going to see it much, but you got to prepare for the supply of not being able to get out of large cities to reach us. He's really talking about what they're going to do, and they got it planned already for, you know, mass chaos, just seeing what everybody else thinks about it.
I don't doubt there are some bad actors that would be plotting and planning something of that sort. My question for you, Todd, is does that work? I mean, basically what, throw a hissy fit and try and do blockades on trucks and try, I mean, like, I mean, all I think that will do was endear more people to Donald Trump.
Well, it encourages me to, you know, be a patriot, they're absolutely nuts, the left, and I fear that they've been planning this stuff for years, and they're planning it right now, and I just think everybody needs to be prepared for, you know, worst case scenarios. And I mean, obviously fear is what the left runs on. We all know that.
Sure.
They want to control people, but not that we have to be fearful. We just have to be prepared, and that's what I believe. And like I said, you know, I mean, you know, North Dakota, I want to hope that we're, you know, for the most part secluded from a lot of the crazies in the rest of the world, but you just never know.
Yeah, good point. I think they're just going to take the loss. I think they're going to take the L. They're going to regroup. They're going to come back with a much stronger candidate in 28.
And when you say they, Kevin, we'll who's the they you're talking
the
about?
The Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might be
X's and O's here on the tic-tac-toe board. That's it.
If you're talking about, you know, Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi, maybe.
They're gone. They'll be gone. They'll be gone.
When you say they, but I think to Todd's point, there are a group of folks no different than those that caused chaos after George Floyd and everything else that would want to.
Oh, you bet.
Go a whole different direction. I don't think they just take their lumps and go home. So
George Soros is warming up his checkbook, baby.
Best way to prevent all this is have a landslide victory. Let's just do that, should we?
Look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president.
He said he thought that was too tough.
It's the best.
So he ran it by
Schumer.
Chuck.
Schumer looked like somebody just kicked his dog.
Yeah. Trump said he actually ran it by Schumer, like, I'm going to hit you hard. I'm going to hit you hard. Here's what's coming. And he said Chuck's a pro. He was okay with it. So that's the whole spirit of the Al Smith dinner, is obviously good-natured, good-ribbing humor back and forth. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris too shallow to show. Surprising no one. Open phone Friday edition of the program. If you're a first-time caller, let us know when you call, by the way. My Pillow prize for our first-time callers today at 701-271-1100, brought to you in part by Schmitz. Trust the team of jewelry experts at Schmitz Gems. They make it easy for you to pick out something she will love. Schmitz Gems and Fine Jewelry Fargo. Find out more online at schmitzjewelry.com. Schmitzjewelry.com. 21 past the hour. Let's roll on with a few more of your text. Don't forget, Mondale also made the mistake during his debate with Reagan that he would raise taxes across the board. Didn't help either. No doubt about it. Listener says on Bongino, 250,000 people are in his live chat waiting for a Trump interview right now. That would not surprise me at all. Another listener, I'm a hard no on number two, and I'm a yes on number four, talking about the measures on the North Dakota ballot. Citizens have to be able to do what our Republican supermajority can't seem to get done. Making it more difficult for the folks should not be a Republican platform. We'll bring that up with Yana Myrtle next hour. We're talking about Measure 2. The reason I am a yes vote on Measure 2 is I think it's too easy to change the Constitution. And I'm thinking ahead to some of these national efforts to enshrine in constitutions across the country abortion measures that the legislature's not for, that the people are not for. I don't want that. I want these outside groups coming in there. And should it be easy to change the Constitution? That's the question you need to ask yourself. I think there should be some steps, like saying, who are the electors that are doing this? The subject can only be one thing. Let's have it pass a primary election that nobody turns out for, as well as a general election. I think those things make some sense. And we elect 100-some legislators to go there and make decisions like that. They put it on the ballot, so I'm a yes on two, but that's why we call the question. We'll talk with Yana a little bit about the motives behind it when we come back. And longtime pro-life warrior, so I imagine she shares some of the same concerns that I have as well on the Measure 2. All right, before I go to some of the calls, I just want to make sure I do this because I promised I would. Here are some very interesting polling numbers contrasting this very same spot in the 2020 election with where we are in the 2024 election, 18 days away. Pennsylvania, Trump is 5.9 points ahead of where he was in 2020. Michigan, polling improvement of 8.2%. Wisconsin, 6%. North Carolina, 4 points better. Arizona, 5 points better. In Georgia, 2.7 points better. All ways of telling you, and nationally, which to me doesn't matter, but he's 7.4% better today than in 2020, where he lost by razor-thin margins in Arizona and Wisconsin and Georgia. Places that he is. This is one of the reasons I think you see a whole lot of panic and infighting going on. There was another story yesterday about, from Politico, again, basically an arm of the Harris campaign saying they're blowing it in Pennsylvania. They need to change it up. But if you're changing it up 18 days before an election, it's over. So there's all this.
Yeah, you're done.
There's this circular firing squad that's going on in the Harris campaign. That's why. They're seeing all these. I even saw David Plouffe, who is, again, an Obama strategist, kind of the Obama political guru who's been brought in at the 11th hour by the Harris campaign. He said all this talk of a Harris lead in the polls was BS, was never there. He's claiming as tight as all get out. So, I mean, that's coming from her campaign. So my point in telling you is that Trump's polling position in the states that will decide this election, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Arizona, and Georgia, are 5, 6, 7, and 8 points better than they were at this exact same spot in 2020 when the race was super tight. So don't be gaslit. Don't be sucked into these mind games that are happening. Wanted you to know that. Because I don't I hear that anywhere. I don't know why. Shouldn't we be comparing polling from 2020 to 2024? I guess because Trump is so much better, again, you don't hear about it. So you do hear on What's On Your Mind. To my not, we go on Bruce, what's on your mind? 701-271-1100.
Hey, yeah, a quick question. A while back, you had someone on your show that was talking about a project that was being built at Ellendale, and I was talking to a truck driver over there, and he's working on this project over there by Ellendale, and he's telling me it's vigorously being built, and he was telling me that this project, and I believe it's the same one you were talking about on the program, was had something to do with A1 artificial intelligence, and it was an Elon Musk project. Is that correct? I mean, I would think that Ellendale
I think everything you've said is accurate, except I've not heard anything about Elon Musk. It's a data center, and the amount of data slash power to do the data for A1 necessary for what's coming is like off the charts, which is an enormous opportunity for North Dakota. Prime example, when do you think the last time a $2 billion development project happened in Ellendale, North Dakota was, Bruce?
Well, that leads me to a question. Why Ellendale? That was another question that truck driver is asking. Ellendale ain't a huge area, but
the answer is because it's in rural North Dakota, and we produce a lot of power that we're not able to use all of the power that we use, and so actually the rural areas are generally more favorable because they have excess power available.
Grid line on closer to the grid, or maybe access to, I don't know.
Plays a part, but obviously they're going to the rural areas on purpose because there are less power needs in Ellendale, North Dakota than there are in Fargo.
Probably it's then they got room for all the solar and the wind farms around it to power it, right? That's how they're going to do it?
No, I think we have plenty of coal.
Ah,
clean, beautiful coal.
Evil. Oh,
because
that stuff.
Speaking of solar and wind, one of the things you don't have from those power sources is the reliability to always have them on. Data centers have these incredible requirements where they can have no downtime.
Oh, that's crazy.
So they've got to go where the power is most reliable. I love the Ellendale story, so it's pretty cool. But I don't think Elon Musk has anything to do with that. We've had the developer on to talk about it. It's a great project. Great for Ellendale, great for North Dakota. And I think you'll be seeing more of those in North Dakota, Bruce. So
thank you.
Tell your truck driver friend all is well. But I think Elon Musk, like many, understands the insatiable appetite for power as it relates to technology. I mean, that's the future, which is bizarre because a lot of these woke folks hate the energy sources that are powering it. Microsoft sort of gets a wake-up call as it comes to woke and fossil fuels when they need power, baby. They need power.
I must say I was shocked when I heard that Kamala was skipping the Al Smith dinner. I'd really hoped that she would come because we can't get enough of hearing her beautiful laugh. She laughs like crazy.
Beautiful laugh. This is the famous Trump song where he does the little dance, too, right?
Yeah, it's one of them, yeah.
When the rallies wrap up.
Yeah.
He's up there on stage. Who is this? What is this song?
This is a Hold On, I'm Coming by Sam and Dave. Soul Man. Sam and Dave.
It's a good one. Love it.
Bet.
Hey, PetroServe USA, one of our fine sponsors here on What's On Your Mind. Hankering for a little lunch today. Let me give you a little heads up on what's for lunch today. Lots of lasagna. That's right. Hartwood has lasagna today. Lasagna with garlic toast, West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Chicken and gravy, also West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Salisbury Steak in Valley City. Tater Tot Hot Dish at the downtown Fargo location or Wahpeton. Swedish Meatballs out in Yulin or Ada today. Beef Stew at 12th and I, 29. What am I missing? Sloppy Joe's. Maybe worth the drive to Castleton. If you're at Castleton Exit Way, head on into that beautiful new PetroServe USA location for home cooking and grab-and-go convenience. You fill up with 8 gallons or more, you get a free car wash today, too. PetroServe USA. Let's go to Maine, Minnesota, and Mike is next. Remember, if you're a first-time caller, let Kev know that. We love our first-time callers on Friday. We'll put you to the front of the line and give you a MyPillow prize. But anybody's welcome to call, and you can ask us anything. Whatever's on your mind, let us know. Hey, Mike?
Well, Scotty, I got to tell you, you're killing me. I mean, you've got me salivating like Pavlov's dogs. I mean, those meatballs sound terrific. Well, getting down to the point, that one previous caller said that the Democrats are going to try and pull something. I honestly think that we should look at ourselves as Americans. This is our home. This is our country. These people don't respect our home. They don't respect our country. And we have got to come out of the corner fighting and stop these guys. We don't want Fargo or any other city to be like Minneapolis. We must stand up and fight for our country. Because if we don't, they're going to run over us like a speed bump. And it's just really sad that there are people out there who swear they are Americans, but yet they're willing to go out, put people in the hospital, destroy property, all for the sake of a Democratic policies. Oh, please, come on now. Enough is enough. You know, I just...
Amen.
This is my country. Let's fight for it. For heaven's sakes, let's stand up and fight, put on our big boy pants, and come to the party.
Describe stand up and fight. What kind of a fight do you think is necessary between now and Election Day, or for that matter, just as a patriot, as an American?
We stand up for Donald Trump. He is the man that's going to be there for us. I don't mean like we should pick up baseball bats and sticks, but if these people come, then we must go with our police and stand with them and have their back and do whatever we can to help them to stop this before it starts.
I wonder how many people are too timid to stand up and just using their voice, just free speech, just talking about this stuff, just calling a show like this or talking to coworkers or neighbors or whatever. You know, I reposted a story today on Twitter from a woman who had totally bought into the Trump is evil stuff because she now believes she basically was brainwashed by the CNNs and the MSNBCs and sort of being in the wrong Facebook groups and literally, totally destroyed her relationship with her dad. You know, got into arguments and became estranged with her dad and other family members, and now recognizes that she was basically brainwashed and had the fortitude and the courage to share this story, saying, "Hey, I get it now, and I'm voting for Trump, and I see what they do, and I can't believe that I was estranged from my own father over being brainwashed about all this." That to me would be an example of fighting. Of the being courageous enough to tell that story, and maybe others see that and say, you know what, I was in the same boat. I think you can fight with your voice, can't you, Mike?
I had a guy that didn't like my Trump hat, and I was in line at Walmart, and the guy said, I should have took that hat off. I looked him in the eye and said, you should have tried.
There you go, buddy.
He shut up right then and there.
You know, Michelle Tafoya brought that up last night too, Scott. I've talked about it too. You know, and her thing, you got to be courageous. The truth is on our side here. Common sense is on our side here. And once people, you know, hopefully see through some of this stuff, they wake up. And a lot of people are waking up to it. And who cares? You know, it's like I have lots of friends. I have so many friends. And if I lose a friend or two that they're staunchly sticking to the Trump is despicable, which is, I'll tell you an actual story. Just quick, a friend of mine posted a video of Meryl Streep, how despicable Trump was, making fun of the disabled reporter. And it was just despicable, and how anyone could vote for this despicable man. And my one line back was, how about 320,000 missing children that have been trafficked or are slaves somewhere around the world? Is that despicable, or what qualifies here? What, you know, if we're debating despicable, and of course the comment got deleted and I get canceled and I don't care, you know, that's the truth.
Not to mention, of course, that story was false, which usually is the case,
you know, exactly.
It's like this. If Trump wins, he says he's going to put his opponents in prison. Like, could you find me that clip, Kevin?
Yeah, where it's not happening.
You know, they've taken something out of context to suggest that he puts people in prison, for crying out loud. You know, it's, but you know, you mentioned last night, we had a great event last night, Mike, with Michelle Tafoya and Liz Collin. And Michelle Tafoya was I don't know how much money she made, but a lot of money working the sidelines at NFL games to do broadcasts. And came to the point after 9/11 where she said, really, is this important? Is what I'm doing making a difference? I'm making all this money for a big network reporting on the sideline of NFL games. And I don't think this is important. I don't think this is about what can make a difference about saving this country. And she walked away from all of it and said, I'm out of here, and I'm going to do something that I think makes a difference. Liz Collin, same thing. You know, WCCO TV anchor. She was silenced by WCCO TV because, God forbid, she was married to a cop. And therefore, because she was married to a cop, they said, you can't report on George Floyd. I kid you not.
Wow. That is tragic.
So she walked away.
That is really tragic.
So she walked away. And because she walked away, she was actually able to write a book about the whole George Floyd thing. And she sold a lot of those books last night. I waited a long time for every single person to get through the line who stayed after the event last night to actually buy a book and get it signed by Liz. And the book is called They're Lying. They're Lying.
I wish I could have been there for that.
Get the book, if nothing else. Watch the documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis. It's pretty incredible. Appreciate your inspiration, Mike. Thank you. Others welcome at 701-271-1100. Texter said, had a blast at the Avalon last night. Picked up Liz's book. Plan on reading it this weekend on the porch. You'll love it. You will love that book. Trust me on this. And the documentary is great. And what you'll come away with is that you can trust nothing from corporate media. That you cannot get sucked into the vortex on Facebook about what the narrative of a particular story is. I mean, again, the truth requires citizenship. It requires rolling up your sleeve and digging it a little bit. Very eye-opening. Joan in Moorhead, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Hi, Joan.
Thank you for your wonderful thing yesterday. It was good to see Michelle and Liz, and they're warriors, they're fighters. And we appreciate you and Kevin and your whole crew at the Flag, how you put on these get-togethers. And you guys are the ones that are helping us win our country back, and we so appreciate that. And I called yesterday about your fellow Michael that was on for his educating us, and we've about the food sources that we're getting and how to make them healthier. And we are so blessed that Robert F. Kennedy is on with Trump now, because he is such a credible person. I don't agree with all of his policies, different things like the Green New Deal and all this, but he knows and he understands what Fauci. He wrote a book. And what an evil man he is, and what our big corporate elites are doing to our country, and how we can help get our country back. And he understands all about the COVID, the horrible COVID situation. And so what he's saying about, that's his Robert F. Kennedy, but Michael, what he was talking about was the food source. And it is completely true what he's saying. And I just was going to mention about what I've heard on www.cobbylogic.us. They have on occasionally last year, and now this year again, they brought on Dr. Brian Artis, and he is working for, there's four doctors that have brought up this documentary. It's you can go to the website and look it up. It's healingfortheages.com, and explains everything that Michael was talking about too, and how our bodies are meant to heal themselves, but they're putting in so many chemicals in our food supplies and in the air and everything to hurt us. And this jeepers.
You know, Joan, I got a question for you, but don't you feel good that that RFK Jr. would be the captain of that team to go in and really look at that? I mean, that's what gives me the most excitement about the whole thing.
Yes, it does. But I just want to mention one thing about, just so people will understand what our government is doing. And I'm just going to go right. Can I just skip to what Scott was talking about, changing the Constitution? We should not allow people. We need to make it very difficult for people to change the Constitution, because we have so many evil people in our country that don't understand what our forefathers went through to okay, yeah, thank you. Bye.
Joan, thank you. Appreciate your call very much. Thanks for
love, Joan.
Weighing in. Absolutely. 16 before the top of the hour. RFK Jr. was at the L. Smith dinner last night. Trump talked about him and said, we're going to turn him loose to make America healthy again.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope. I've got nothing.
That's good. That's good. You had some good stuff last night. It was funny. I was chuckling along. You know, he talked later about how some version of, and I made me do this. I just think we're in a terrible spot in this country, and there's no time to joke around. But, you know, I know I'm supposed to do this, so I'll do it. But it sounded like he kind of reluctantly, you know, did it, but he didn't want to be the yuckster, be the comedian. But
all I would tell him is, I mean, he had some great material, but I think he should have gone through it a little more, because I think a couple of the punchlines were lost in his, because he was reading. He had note cards, you know, but he had some great ones, man. It was good. Maybe he should do a little stand up in his retirement years.
Here was one of my favorites. He said a major issue in this race is child care, and Kamala has put forward a concept of a plan. The only piece of advice I would have for her is, in the event she wins, don't let your husband Doug anywhere near the nannies. I mean, one of those little zingers that is funny, but true, because
yeah.
We know that he has impregnated a nanny. This is how disgusting Doug Emhoff is, the second, whatever you call him, to the spouse of Kamala Harris. This is the kind of people they...
Oh, yeah. Learn more about that guy, too.
Oh.
Really about who he is and where he's from.
Yeah. He had a couple of lines where he, you know, a little self-deprecating humor. That line, he said, pleasure to be with you this evening, and really a pleasure to be anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance.
Yeah.
So, well done. Anyway... Nice little tradition there. We're brought to you today by our friends at the Hospice of the Red River Valley. And you know, when the time comes to care for a loved one at the end of their journey, that can really be tough, overwhelming. And that's where hospice care is there as the professionals to help you. They provide the comfort, the dignity, the peace for patients, but peace for their families as well. The dedicated team of nurses, doctors, and counselors are by your side, offering expert medical care and emotional support tailored to your needs. Let them help you focus on what matters most, spending meaningful moments together. Find out more at hrrv.org for Hospice of the Red River Valley, hrrv.org, dedicating to making each moment matter. And they do it well. Tim says... I have nothing to be gained by this suggestion, since I farm northwest of Culm, but I would encourage you to consider doing a live show at Ellendale. It really is amazing what is happening there with this data center project on the northwest edge of town. The building is huge. The adjoining electrical substation is bigger than you'll find anywhere in the region. There's new transmission lines. Dozens of gravel loads are hauled in daily from the Whitestone Hills, about 13 miles west of Ellendale, to the project site. There are dozens of wind towers to the west and the Forbes in the Culm area. I don't know if those towers are providing some of the electricity. The town has a good weekly newspaper. The town has built a new city hall. Jesse Veeder performed at the Opera House several months ago. I've heard from officials in Culm that many old houses in Ellendale have been and are being renovated by new residents to the town. I'd imagine this project has had a substantial economic boost to the community and some of the surrounding areas. Thanks for the suggestion, Tim.
Once those are, I mean, they're big, they call them server farms, if I'm not mistaken. Same thing, you know, huge rooms full of servers, which draw huge power, and they need massive amounts of cooling because they run real hot. They can get real warm. But I would imagine once that's up and running, there aren't a lot of jobs once it's going, other than, you know, people overseeing it and making sure everything's connected.
Yeah, it's not a small amount.
I don't know.
It's not a small amount, especially when you're talking about Ellendale.
But building it, for sure,
and,
yeah.
These rural communities don't have the, you know, first, yes, the construction, the development, everything else that goes into building it. But there's no small amount of jobs.
Yeah,
and again,
I mean,
for small towns, that's why it's great. I think it's fantastic.
Got to be 30 plus. I don't know how many people would take that. I'd be curious to know how many people it takes to run that once it's built.
You know, I don't remember the answer we asked that question when we had the developer on the program talking about it. But I think it was in the hundreds, Kev. I think it was.
I think so, too.
Not a small amount. So, again, it's
right.
Just
it's
the
great
financial investment and just the future, I think, is
confidence
great.
In ND. There you go.
Yeah, and I don't think the wind towers are connected to that project. You know, again, all of the above. You need it all, and we'll take it all. But the big thing with data centers is they need really reliable energy. So coal is the big draw in North Dakota because we have more power generation that's happening here than we have use for. So why export it? Do it here. I love it, 100%. Texter says, the least you can do to help save our country is wear a hat or shirt for Trump. It's time to stop being afraid of being accused of being hateful or racist because the mainstream media says you have to be if you support his views or how our country should be run. There you go. Appreciate that comment.
He's the end of democracy. Telling you. End of democracy. He's never going to leave.
You know what I love about that is
he's going to go after everybody.
If he was as bad as they say he is, why wouldn't he have done any of that in the first year when he was president? You know, they kind of... Kind
that's
of
a good question.
Inconvenient truth for them. I think the people you need to worry about are those that are going to lose their minds if he wins and what they will do. That's for sure. University of Mary, one of our fine sponsors here, and they want you to know about a new program designed to put cybersecurity professionals in some of these positions in high demand. Talking about the Ellendale, prime example. Find out more about what they're doing. umary.edu/CSA. Have a new cybersecurity administration degree program. It's great. Back on What's on Your Mind, Celebrating America. Listener during the break said, I did not get that web address for the Cybersecurity Professional Administration Degree Program at the University of Mary. Let me give it to you again. umary.edu/CSA. That's right. And the University of Mary is supporting this incredible increase in technology needs for small and large businesses, for cybersecurity professionals. That's what we were talking about in a much-needed field right now. Talking about that data center in Ellendale, here's the kind of things we're talking about. umary.edu/CSA. Also brought to you today by our friends at Cirrusset. They believe happiness is not just a destination, it's a journey, and a balanced and harmonious brain gets you that joy. Celebrate joy. Enhance your mood, improve your sleep, boost your overall well-being. Spread happiness together with Cirrusset. Online at Cirrusset.com or call them at 701-566-5231. Senator Kevin Cramer is here for the Talk Radio Town Hall. It's election season. He's in an election right now, seeking a re-election to a second term in the U.S. Senate. Had another debate this week. How was the debate, Kev?
Well, it was the most fun I've ever had at a debate, and I've participated in a lot of debates. Anyway, it was... It was quick. It was an hour long, which most of them are, although that's, presidentials are 90 minutes, and the Beck tradition wanted to start out with two-hour debates, and I just know people can't handle 2 hours of a debate. But anyway, I enjoyed it immensely. I didn't really do much to prepare other than be who I am. There are a couple of distinctions about it. They used, radio talk show hosts. I have nothing against any of you, as their hosts or the moderators. So they had Steve Bakken from Bismarck, and then Joel Heitkamp from Fargo. And I would recommend never doing that again. Not that they were horrible, but they kind of conducted the debate like it was their, you know, talk show on TV rather than, you know, a Bret Baier type or Martha McCallum or even a Kristen Welker type of a, you know, more policy centric. So it was a little bit weird in that way. But my biggest takeaway from the thing, Scott, was she has a big problem. My opponent's problem is that she has to spend a lot of money and effort convincing people of things they know not to be true. Like somehow it's Republicans' fault that there's a crisis at the border. That's the humdinger of them all. And, of course, I almost feel badly for her trying to make this case and knowing that there's not one person, including a single Democrat, that believes that for one second. The other thing she did...
Can I also say that there's not any of us that believe that they actually want to solve the border crisis. I think they see it as a political talking point that is a big, big pain point for any Democrat out there. So all of a sudden they get religion on actually wanting to secure the border. We know better. We've watched the actions of them.
Well, and they could do it tomorrow. That's if they really did care, they'd do tomorrow what Donald Trump did. And you know, it's easy to point that out, and everybody knows better, but it seemed foolish doing it. Her other big problem, and it really, really came out the other night, is she always wants to accuse me of being, quote, the professional politician who only uses talking points. And it was really, I tried to resist, actually, because it was embarrassing enough, I thought, for her. But I finally had to point out the fact that that very day, the day of the debate, her newspaper in Jamestown, North Dakota, endorsed me specifically because I don't use talking points. Because I'm the one person who does not do talking points. But she just couldn't. She just kept going down this path. And finally, the one thing I did resist, though, and it's the first time I've ever seen it in a debate, you guys, she had pages of typewritten notes with her, which is always forbidden in a debate. And it's certainly weird. And of course, I had a white sheet of paper and a pen, and I wrote notes as she talked. But she had several pages, so she kept referring to these typewritten prepared notes for her, and then evidently said, accuse him of using talking points. Accuse him of using talking points. Accuse him of using. It's like, I don't think you're missing. I don't think you're quite grasping the irony here. But it was sort of one thing right after another that none of which went well for her, and it seemed to me extremely well for me.
Accuse him of using talking points, and you use nothing but talking points. And she was on with Steve. I heard her on with Steve Hallstrom yesterday, and you know, I get they're all ringing with this. Well, Trump killed the bill. You know, we had that, Kamala, same thing. We had it solved. We had 1,500 border agents. We weren't going to build any wall. We were just going to process more people. How do they get away, Kev? The constant, lying about what that bill was. It blows my mind. Yeah.
It is kind of interesting, although I think the first problem, Kevin, is it's unbelievable because it's not believable. And in other words, it doesn't get much attention because it just doesn't pass the smell test. So why would we let that sit around? I went through great detail to explain the other things that were in the bill. And to your point on processing, actually, she brought that up as a merit of the bill. So that was the perfect in for me to say, that processing she's talking about, that is to make illegals legal faster. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about, oh, good, we can get 1 million people in here quickly and make them all legal right away, and then we can put them on, you know, we can put them on more programs. And then, of course, the whole funding of NGOs and sanctuary cities, to which she said, well, I should show Senator Cramer a map. This is the honorable professor in her. You know, I'm going to show him a map and show him there are no sanctuary cities in North Dakota, but kids are being killed with fentanyl. And I'm like, yeah, just argued with yourself. You know, the fact that you allow, not just allow in the United States, incentivize in this bill, sanctuary cities that can create a sanctuary for what? Criminals. That's what allows fentanyl. That's the draw. While there certainly was more money for Customs and Border Protection, and I'd gladly support that in a standalone bill, although we didn't need more of them in the Trump era, but I would happily do that. But processing illegals faster to be legals is not a good idea in my mind. But I don't know, Kev, why it doesn't get more out there. I think actually that the Trump campaign itself doesn't do much on that in terms of rebutting that
terrible
point.
Terrible job. I mean, absolutely terrible. But I still see poll numbers overwhelmingly say trust is much more on the Trump side than it is on the Harris side on the border. So maybe it's not working. So they're just not.
I think that's
engaging.
I think that's probably it, Scott. Yeah. So anyway, my grandson, my 8-year old, said you roasted her, Papa.
Yeah. Well,
very astute.
I'm not sure North Dakota's ready for finger wagging nasty professors as members of Congress. So it's not been much of a serious campaign, to tell you the truth. And it is a little rich that the talking point campaign is accusing you of being using talking points.
The best was Clinton the other day. Well, you know, if they were more vetted, that murder probably wouldn't have happened. Yeah. You think, Bill?
Thank you.
Do you get the sense, you guys, though, that there are some of the Bill Clintons of the world, and I would even submit Joe Biden, that aren't that into Kamala Harris and don't mind every now and then throwing a little jab at her? I think that's pretty clear.
Even the lip readers suggest that Barack Obama and President Biden shared some similar concerns at the funeral of Kennedy.
Ethel Kennedy.
So yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Let's get Craig and Moorhead in here. Question for Senator Kevin Cramer on Talk Radio Town Hall for the Senator. Go ahead, Craig. What's up?
Senator, when I turned on that debate and saw Heidkamp there, I watched for 3 minutes and got rid of it. Shame on you for going there. He is the worst. You should have known better, but I'm glad it came out okay. Good on you. See ya.
Well, thanks. Well, first of all,
you gotta
fight.
You gotta do it, don't you?
You do it, right? I go on his show even. But to be fair, Joel's always quite good to me on his show. He spends all the rest of the time beating me up, but I don't mind because he can't lay a glove on me. He tried in a really, really distasteful way, and I don't need to necessarily go into it. But he did in a really distasteful way, in a way that really, frankly, embarrassed all the Democrats in the room, and her, quite honestly, trying to bring up Hunter Biden and comparing him to my son's situation.
And he
couldn't have been more wrong. First of all, he accused me of talking to the national media and trashing Hunter Biden all the time. And of course, I've never done that. And by the way, Hunter Biden came along long before these recent episodes with my own son. And I've never criticized Joe Biden for loving his son. I never have. I've gone to the other lengths the other way. In fact, the Wall Street Journal did a story about it, how I don't do that. And so he messed up badly and embarrassed himself, I would think, if he's embarrassable. I'm not sure about that, but he certainly embarrassed his brand. So
Craig,
he didn't do her any favors.
Greg, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Boys playing in girls' sports has become an issue in a number of races around the country, and some very close ones, based on a vote that happened in the Senate. I want to talk about that when we come back with Senator Kevin Cramer of the Talk Radio Town Hall. Your questions or comments, welcome to. Got for another segment here, so last chance to get those in right now on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away. Back on What's on Your Mind, Senator Kevin Cramer of the Talk Radio Town Hall with us. Story in the Wall Street Journal recently about the impact of an issue that is sort of a sleeper issue that may be impacting a lot of votes and also deciding the balance of the power in the U.S. Senate. And that is the challenge of boys playing in girls' sports. President Trump was asked about it in a town hall with Harris Faulkner this week. I want to play you this question. Trump's response and get your take on this, Kev.
My name is Linda, and I'm from Milton, Georgia.
Good.
But originally Brooklyn, New York.
Oh,
I'd get
that's
that
good.
In there. My question is, how do you plan on addressing the transgender issue in women's sports? I have 9 grandchildren, 6 of them female, all playing sports, and we are very concerned for their safety, not just on the field and the courts, but in their locker rooms as well.
Right. It's such an easy question, and everybody in the room, and you know that answer. We're not going to let it happen. You look, just yesterday, they had a volleyball match. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Where a person that transitioned, okay? We have to be very careful because this can terminate your political career if you say it's slightly off, all right? But transitioned from man to female and was on a volleyball. And I saw the slam. It was a slam. I never saw a ball hit so hard. Hit the girl on the head. But other people, even in volleyball, they've been they've been really hurt badly, women playing men. But you don't have to do the volleyball. We stop it. We absolutely stop it. You can't have it. It's a man playing in the game. I mean, physically, from a muscular standpoint, even if it was a little bit less, maybe they do all sorts of tests and drugs and everything else. Look at what's happened in swimming. Look at the records that are being broken.
So how do you stop it? Do you go to the sports leagues? Do you go to the Olympic Council?
You just ban it. The president bans it. You just don't let it happen.
All right. He wants to ban it.
There you go.
There actually was a vote on this, and you have colleagues, Sherrod Brown, Tester, what's her name, in Wisconsin, Baldwin, that all voted against doing anything on this. Has this been a sleeper issue, do you think, in the campaign?
You know, it's interesting. I haven't seen it a lot in the campaigns, although, let me just give you a factoid to support the president. Apart from just an all-out ban, if we just banned federal funding for education, you'd end up having the same effect. Just give you a North Dakota fact. The federal government provides $3,290 per pupil in North Dakota, the federal government. If we banned that $3,290, which is about, I don't know, maybe 20% of the total funding for K-12 education, that would pretty well take care of it. So even if you couldn't do an outright ban, because education is just a state issue, really, as far as the Constitution goes. But that alone. But I want to bring this back to my campaign. My opponent, who says I've never taken corporate PACs, she took a corporate PAC. She took a PAC check, a major PAC check from the Now Incorporated. Now Incorporated. Their number one issue is the transgender agenda. But not to be overly ironic, she took $5,000 from the Midwest Values PAC, which is the Al Franken PAC. The Al Franken, the disgraced former senator from Minnesota who was thrown out of the United States Senate by Democratic female senators, including Heidi Heitkamp, who took his contribution and gave it to charity. My opponent took his $5,000. So she's all on the transgender thing all the way.
Wow. And she also thinks, that if she says January 6th as many times as possible, that somehow that should be elected. Is that issue? I get it. Democrats repeat it over and over, and they say Trump's going to lock up his opponents, and you know all this. Yeah. Does anybody believe that?
No,
they don't. They don't. But it's not a high issue. I don't think it's a top. Certainly not a top 10 issue, maybe not a top 100 issue. But with regard to locking up your opponents, that's exactly what Democrats are trying to do with Donald Trump. I mean, that's pretty clear. And I think it's clear to everybody in America that they've weaponized the justice system, and including the Department of Justice. So they've literally been trying to do that to him. And then they accuse him of going to do that if he wins, because, of course, he might actually investigate the Department of Justice. That'd be a good idea. But she also criticizes me because she says I lied that night, because I said that Nancy Pelosi declined federal assistance on that night. And of course, just a month and a half ago, the House Committee on Oversight released the transcripts between Donald Trump and the Pentagon, where he directed them. Okay, he's the commander-in-chief, directed the Pentagon leadership to keep January 6th safe, to include National Guard. And they deliberately denied it, and not that they had that choice, by the way, but they still did it. And Nancy Pelosi also declined federal support from the National Guard. And their reasoning over and over in the transcripts, you see it, was, well, we don't like the optics of it. We don't remember DAPL. We don't like the optics of it. So, and I understand that a military force.
I think the optics they liked was what was happening, because it was going to be blamed on Trump.
That's right.
That's what
no question.
They wanted those optics. That's what they were trying to make sure continued to play out. Same thing with Tim Walz in Minnesota denying the National Guard down there. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and in Tim Walz's case, it's a little weirder, because, I mean, let's face it, they're anti-law enforcement. So they like the optics so that somebody else can be blamed, and then they enjoy the fact that it's anti-cop and anti-law enforcement, because that's where they hang out. That's their foundation. That's their base.
Disgusting. Your race, obviously the polling, this isn't close, right? I mean, this is not
right.
How about the balance of power in the Senate? What's your take on where that's looking at right now?
Well, it's looking very good. I mean, Cook, I like it. You know, if you want to look at Charlie Cook's positions, he has, of course, likely Republican be overcome in West Virginia. So Jim Justice takes that seat. That's a Democrat seat. That puts us at par. We keep all of ours. All of ours are ahead. All of our incumbents are ahead. Tim Sheehy in Montana is now ahead by 8 to 10 points. They've got that in likely Republican category. This week, Bernie Moreno went ahead of Sherrod Brown by 3 points in Ohio. And Donald Trump's probably going to win by double digits. So that is now lean Republican.
So that,
Would, of course, give us a great – that would give us a couple of vote margin. But then there's a bunch of other really close ones. Pennsylvania's a toss-up. Michigan's a toss-up. And these are states where Trump is now leading by a little bit. Arizona's a toss-up. Nevada's a toss-up. It's just looking really, really good. Scott, just so you all know, not any time since the 17th Amendment was passed, which is, you know, the amendment to the Constitution that gives the popular vote, gives the Senate to the popular vote rather than the legislators, never have we had more than 55 Republicans in the United States Senate. It's conceivable, and maybe not likely yet, but it's very conceivable that we could have 56 after this election.
That would also translate into a pretty significant Trump win, too, wouldn't it?
Well, I'd put it the other way around. A significant Trump win translates into us having 56 senators, because Trump is very competitive in all of those states. And if he wins those states by 2, 3, 4 points, if he wins them by 5 or 6 points, and he may in a lot of those cases, then we do win those Senate seats. So, yes, this is a Trump poll factor, as well as the incumbents, who in many cases poll a little ahead of Trump. If we all do our jobs, we'll both be in the majority, have the presidency and have the House, and then we will change the world.
18 days. Let's do it. Thanks for the update and the recap on the debate as well. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll talk Measure 2 when we come back. Yana Myrdal says it's a good idea to vote for Measure 2. She'll tell us why. If you're out,
it's a true pleasure to be with you this evening. Amazing pleasure. And these days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance.
And sharing a few laughs from last night's Al Smith dinner. Famous fundraising event. Donald Trump honored the tradition that the Republican presidential candidate come and be the featured speaker. It's also a tradition that the Democrat does the same. Kamala Harris decided not to. Yesterday set the cringe video instead. And according to the Twitter sphere today, there is no joy on Team Harris. Kev, I know.
I can imagine.
Evidently, the campaign manager had advised her not to go to the Al Smith dinner because it would offend the LGBTQ community.
Ah.
Pro-abortion forces, rather, and
sure,
because
sure,
of the
sure.
Catholic churches. So she didn't think it was a good idea, but because the whole video bombed and the whole thing like blew up on her,
mm-hmm.
Now there's all these sources leaking within the Harris campaign that she just excoriated her campaign manager over this in a call that called her everything in the book. So
is that the story we're hearing?
It is your story and the story of our friends before you.
Okay.
Unburdened by what
story
was to thing, become yeah. what is. Yeah. Anyway, when they start having this little circular firing squad, not good. Not good. And that's sort of what's happening. Anyway, let me tell you what's for lunch today. Sloppy Joe's in Castleton at PetroServe USA, their beautiful new location. Tater Tot Hot Dish at that new Wahpeton location. If you're out by Yulin or Ada, Swedish Meatballs at both those locations today. Tater Tot Hot Dish also at the downtown Fargo location. 45th Fargo location. Listen to this. Scalloped potatoes and ham. Uh-huh. Lasagna in Harwood. West Main Avenue, West Fargo has that as well. Chicken and gravy. West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Lasagna at that location as well as Harwood. Salisbury Steak in Valley City. Beef stew at 12th and I-29. You get the idea. Fill up with 8 gallons or more. Get a free car wash too. PetroServe USA today. We have several measures on the ballot, including one that the legislature has put on the ballot. Measure number 2 has to do with making it. Here's the question you need to answer on measure number 2. Should it be easy to change our Constitution? Should you be able to, you know, just get some out-of-state group, throw a bunch of money at it, and change good old North Dakota's Constitution? If you think yes, measure 2 is not for you. If you'd like it to be not easy, not a layup to change the Constitution, then Measure 2 is for you. That's why I'm a Measure 2 supporter. We're going to talk to another one, Yana Murdahl from the legislature, state senator, in just a moment on that. Grant's been waiting to weigh in. I want to get you in quick, Grant and Ryan, before we get to our guest here. Grant, tell me quickly what's on your mind.
Hey, Scott, if anybody saw the demeanor of Chuck Schumer, the one that has incited so much violence, saying we're going to come after you, to a potential judge, Kavanaugh. Do you remember that?
I do very well.
I mean, this guy is not,
yeah.
Well, see, this is the whole thing, and I wanted to ask Kevin. This is where you in the Senate, and he's your colleague, you got to hold these people accountable for that, because this is what's ratcheted up to a president almost getting assassinated. So that's the fight we need, because we don't want to have any violence, but they keep ratcheting it up to where they can speak whatever, and somebody goes and does something.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody showed up on his Kavanaugh's front step, was ready to shoot him.
You're 100% right, and the double standard's unbelievable. Literally screaming their names, threatening Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, saying they're going to pay the price. Exactly right, Grant. Great point. Appreciate it. Ryan in Aberdeen, let's go to you next on What's on Your Mind. Quickly, Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, just wanted to mention a policy position. I kind of disappointed I missed Senator Cramer. But Rand Paul, for the last several years, has been floating for every congressional session a balanced budget proposal, which started out 3 cents on the dollar. I think it's up to 6 cents on the dollar now, just 6% of cuts across the board to balance the budget. And I'd like to get a sense of where the North Dakota and South Dakota congressional delegations are on that.
I can tell you where they're at. They've all voted for it. The problem is you don't have the necessary votes. That's why I loved hearing Senator Cramer talk about if the Trump surge continues down the polling path it's going, you could end up with 55 or 56 Republicans. Now you got a fighting chance, because you'd have only four Democrats necessary to get to that famous 60 vote threshold to be able to do exactly that. You got to have the votes. That's the bottom line. And they've not had. You know, nobody has had that that 60-vote majority other than Democrats, and they're certainly not going to balance the budget.
I believe Rand had advanced that proposal, though, at times when the Republicans did have the Senate, maybe not the House. But I just encourage our congressional delegations, like I said, in North and South Dakota, keep an open mind. I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see more talk about it at a minimum.
It takes two-thirds, though, for the constitutional amendment on the balanced budget. It takes two-thirds. So the numbers just are not there. But again, if you start talking about 55, 56 senators, now you've got a fighting chance in it. The numbers just haven't been there. Haven't been there for a long, long time. But that's been the difference. But I'm with you, Ryan. That's a great that's force their hand. You have to do it. 100% agree with you. Appreciate the call very much. Thanks a ton. Yana Murdahl is here, state senator. We're going to talk Measure 2 today. Senator Murdahl, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm sitting outside the Wallace County Fair in cold rain and going to go in there and join the kids and the 4-H'ers for the latest fair in the state of North Dakota, the Potato Fair. So, fun times.
Exactly right. When you're in potato country, you got to wait till the harvest is done, right?
That's right, because we're going to be picking potatoes, you know. So anybody listening in the Wallace County, Pamina County, come and join us.
Am I right that most of the potatoes are out?
Yep, they're out, I think. We have, personally, we have some soybeans left, and we haven't started on the corn yet up here. And so there's about a couple of weeks at least left to harvest up here. So we're hoping for some sunshine next week. So
beautiful. So bring me back to the origins of the legislative debate about putting Measure 2 on the ballot.
Well, you know, I'm the prime sponsor on that, but also the leaders of both chambers signed on to it, and a vast majority of both chambers voted for it, because, like you mentioned earlier, and I've said it in clear language, is that our Constitution stands naked on Main Street, right? So you can sit in California or New York or Washington, D.C., and you can attach, $1 million to a dart, and you can just dart our Constitution and change it. And what it was meant to do when this provision just about 100 years ago was given the people in North Dakota was for the people in North Dakota to have the opportunity to rise up if there was something so desperately wrong in our system and in our state, to rise up grassroots with a cry and say, okay, we got to take over, we got to change the Constitution. But it should be really, really difficult to do so. And right now we've seen in the last decade or so, Scott, you know, doesn't matter what you believe about the measures or the certain topics, but if we've had a dozen years of just out-of-staters changing our Constitution. And the Constitution is our basically our framework, right? Like you don't take the framework of your house down if you remodel your bathroom, you know. And so if you are upset about things, that should come through law, should come through open hearings, should come through transparency. So this is our effort of saying, let's protect our Constitution, that it belongs to the people of North Dakota only. And so I certainly hope that people will vote yes, even though I see a lot of out-of-state money coming in to meddle in this Measure 2 thing right now. So it's kind of undergirds what I say is that out-of-staters should not be able to change our Constitution.
Yeah, so to those that say that this puts up more barriers in front of the people to check and direct their government, you would say what?
No, absolutely not. It's the opposite. And if people know me, that would never be my motivation. So no, it's the opposite. It's protecting the Constitution, so it's only the people in North Dakota. The other thing, it's interesting, a couple of points. If you look at the Secretary of State's website, the two organizations that have donated all the money amounts to about $100,000, even though today I saw they adjusted it down from $68,000 to $10,000 for one group. So maybe they think they're losing. But all the money to come against Measure 2 has come from two lobby firms in Washington, D.C., who, by the way, one of them are tied to California unions. So what the heck does that have to do with the North Dakota Constitution? They want to come in and they want to bring their woke ideas from New York, from Washington, D.C., and from California and change our Constitution because they know they can't do it through the people in North Dakota and their elected officials because we're too conservative to accept those woke things. So that's interesting. Secondly, when these measures are put on the ballot, there's no transparency. There's no anything. They just throw out a word like ethics or term limits or, I don't know, pink roses on Valentine's Day, anything that sounds good, right? And, of course, we're going to vote for that. Like, you know, that sounds good. And then there's pages and pages and pages that we don't see that has nothing to do with North Dakota values at all. And so what we're saying is, at the least, let's have it voted on in the primary and the general election so we can have some transparency, some discussion, some talk about it, some testimony about it, you name it, so the people actually know what they're voted on. Because North Dakota people are smart, and they deserve to have the Constitution absolutely protected for them only and not for New Yorkers or California unions.
So explain, if this passes, what then happens related to, you know, a particular, I mean, what would it take to change the Constitution if this passes?
It would be a little harder, just like it is federally. I know I heard you talked about in the Senate, even in the U.S., to get the balanced budget amendment. It should be difficult to get fundamental things done. And our federal Constitution is very difficult, and the Founding Fathers made it so. So what this would do is it would be a single subject. You can throw in all kinds of sneaky subjects into a measure. It would be circulated and signed only by North Dakotans or voters in North Dakota, if you will. And it would have to go on the ballot twice, first the primary and then the general. And people say, oh, well, nothing else does that. Yeah, it does all the time. We have all kinds of things. We have judges. We have candidates that go on the primary and then go to the general. So it's just to make it more transparent. The bill was stronger than that. It was even more than that. And the third thing, but we couldn't get it all through. But the third thing is it takes a little bit more, a few more thousand signatures than what we've had before. As an example, Scott, in my district, when they voted for term limits, I personally am not for term limits, not for myself. I'm too old to care about me, but I think that's what the ballot box, that's what the Founding Fathers gave us. But term limits, I have not spoken to one constituent in my District 19 that didn't think that they voted for term limits for Congress. But it was actually for lawmakers, right? And we're kind of term limited already in North Dakota. We only serve every 2 years for very limited time. So we're the best legislating setup in the whole nation, to be honest with you. So all we're asking is, let's protect our Constitution, let's change our laws, but let's not prostitute our Constitution to California and New York.
Yana Murdahl, State Senator, with us talking Measure 2. If you have a question or comment, get it in now. A few more minutes left with her on the other side of the break, 701-271-1100. You can also text us at 701-237-1590. Talking Measure 2, one of five measures on the statewide ballot this election day.
Mayor Adams,
Good luck with everything. They went after you. They went after you, Mayor.
Donald Trump at last night's Al Smith dinner, having a laugh at Mayor Eric Adams' expense. I feel your pain.
I shouldn't have made fun of him, buddy. Shouldn't have called him out.
There you go. Brought to you today by our friends at Pucklich, North Dakota's home for Chevy. They're doing some great things at Pucklich, North Dakota's home for Chevy. Breast Cancer Awareness Month is something that they have been champions of for a long, long time. And they're raising some money right now, and you can be part of that effort. We're going to be telling you more about that a little bit next week. It's a nice little give back from Pucklich, North Dakota's home for Chevy. So check out their website to find out more details on that, or stop and see them. Make a donation right there. Right there on Main Avenue, 721 Main in Valley City. Online at PucklichValleyCity.com. PucklichValleyCity.com. They're great folks to do business with, that's for sure. We enjoy our partnership with them. And that online auction is live right now. You can actually bid on items from local businesses. That helps support the cause as well. So find that out. Find out all the items. I'm looking at a list right now, but you can, Valley Meat Certificate. There's Booze Basket. There's Casey's Snack Pizza Basket, John Deere Replicas, and all kinds. Mall of America Package, Electric Toothbrush, all kinds of things. Check it out. Link is right there at PucklichValleyCity.com. 10 before the top of the hour. Chatting with Yana Murdahl, state senator, author of a bill that put Measure 2 on the ballot. Texter says, speaking of out-of-state activists changing our state constitution, could you ask Senator Murdahl to explain how Marcy's Law became a thing when it directly violates our Sixth Amendment rights to face our accusers?
Well, that's interesting. It kind of undergirds what I'm saying is, Marcy's Law was also came from out of state, 100% out of state monies. It went through many, many states, actually. Same thing. I'm not sure about the constitutional violation there, the details of that. But I know some of the Ethics Commission certainly does that. The term limits that we saw, and whether you believe in term limits or not, the measure was written really poorly, and there are some constitutional questions to that. So these, again, that are coming from out of state. They're not vetted. And if you go back in 2014, some of your listeners and you yourself might remember, I chaired a referred measure on the life issue. We lost fair and square. That's fine. But it was a referred measure, meaning it went through legislative scrutiny first, right? So I know there's some mistrust in the lawmakers. There's mistrust in elected officials right now. It's kind of a pandemic of that going on. But when you have a referred measure, that means it goes through all the sausage making, all the open testimony, all the media scrutiny, you name it, for 4 months, right? It gets tossed around so everybody knows inside out what it's like. And then it goes on the ballot so the people know exactly what they're voting for. That's a much better process than the initiative measures. But the initiative measures at least should be protected. And I can't say this enough, Scott, over and over again, and I think your texter understands this as well, should be 100% protected from out-of-state monies and influence. It is none of their business in California, New York, or whatever state to touch the North Dakota Constitution. And we have to protect her because she literally stands naked on Main Street. Anybody with $1 million can throw a dart and change her, and we have to stop that. And Measure 2 is an effort to stop that. Let it be the right of the people in North Dakota alone.
And you can be sure there's a lot of big money groups nationally, they're going to target states like North Dakota specifically on the abortion issue, right? Because bring some radical, crazy Minnesota-like law to North Dakota, throw a bunch of money behind it. It's exactly what I'm saying when I'm saying it's too easy to change the Constitution. That's for sure. Kev, if you grab line one, I'll take this text, and we'll try and get this in quickly before we get Yana on our way. The texter says, so let's say North Dakotans get signatures and get an initiated measure to not allow abortions after 10 weeks of pregnancy in the Constitution. The pro-abortion folks would lay back and see if it passes in the primary ballot and then flood our mailboxes with nastygrams and vote no on social medias. And North Dakotans would be left to scramble to raise dollars to stay competitive for the general election in just 4 months. Gives a big advantage to the out-of-staters. So the legislature, in trying to solve the out-of-state influence problem, is actually making it worse. What would you say to that?
Well, I would have to disagree. Agree to disagree with that. I think North Dakotans are smart. If they're informed, they're going to vote their values. And I think what happens when it just goes on the general election, there's no transparency. Like, I can't tell you how many calls I've had. It's like, what does Measure 2 mean? What does Measure 3 mean? I've had hundreds of calls because it's, you look at the ballot and you go, just 3-4 sentences, right? Max. And I go, well, what does that mean? And so they don't know. If we have it in the primary and the general, we have a longer time to talk. We have a longer time to get groups involved and citizens involved. But either way, group like the pro-abortion groups, they're going to throw millions of dollars at it anyway. And liberal out-of-staters are going to do that because they hate North Dakota. They hate what we stand for. They hate that we're not like Minnesota and California and New York and Illinois. So they're going to do that anyway. This is just an effort to take one step forward to try and protect our Constitution. Because we can change laws. And you elect officials like me, or you can fire me, whatever, and we change laws. But the Constitution should be very, very, very difficult to change.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the question you're asking yourself on Measure 2. A yes vote says, yeah, it should be tough to change our Constitution. Too easy to change our Constitution. That's why I'm voting yes on Measure 2. And Yana, the author of the bill that got it on the ballot, appreciate the background on it and the time today explaining it. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. God bless.
Folks, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. God bless you one and all. Thanks for listening to What's on Your Mind. Charlie Kirk coming up.